Father, we love you so very much. And we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name that brings us such confidence and strength, the name that we can rely on at every moment. With every need that we have, we come to you. I thank you for this church this morning. We pray, God, as your Holy Spirit is here, that you would minister to our hearts, that you would fill us to overflow, that you would anoint your church, God, to accomplish the purposes and the plans, the desires of your heart. We're so grateful to be able to come each and every week and worship you, the creator of the universe. And I pray for each and every one of us that this would never become routine. This would never become something we just must do, but something that we desire to do. We love you, Lord. Bless us during this time as we study, as we minister to each other, as we pray for each other. And I would pray, God, today, increase our faith, our trust in you. We love you, Lord. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You love Jesus? Yeah. That's what I love to hear. Praise the Lord. Good to see you this morning. Open our Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Oh, yeah. Raise your hands. James chapter 1 is where we will start. A couple of places, Hebrews 4 and Mark 11, if you want to bookmark your Bibles or your iPads and iPhones and all those types of things. Bibles in hand, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to bless this time. Father, we love you so very much and we are thankful that you have called us into your kingdom, into your family, to be the people of faith, people that believe in a God we can't physically see. We believe in a God that we have had amazing experiences with. You've changed our hearts. You've changed our minds. You've changed our purposes. And for that reason, God, we come with our Bibles open, looking, seeking, trying to find what it is you would have us do this day for you. We thank you for the book of James. We thank you for the scriptures that encourage us to do things that we wouldn't do naturally, to consider it joy when we fall into a trial. We would not do that naturally. But God, because it says it in your word, we are all challenged to do that very thing. You know where we're at. You know what we're going through. And this time we pray that you would fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would believe, even when it doesn't seem right to believe, that you are going to get us through. Bless this time as we study your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you've been with us, you know that James has been teaching us, as I said in my prayer, to consider trials joyful. To know that the testing of our faith produces patience. To let patience have its perfect work, producing maturity in us. We learned last week to ask God for wisdom during those times of trial. For many times, we don't know what God is doing. We don't know why things are happening the way they are. And James says very clearly, just ask God for wisdom. It's a charge for all of us. It's available to you. The wisdom that comes from God. We learned that last week. And we also learned last week when we closed the service that we needed to believe that God will freely give that wisdom to those who will ask. It's not a question. If you truly ask for the wisdom of God so that it'll apply to your life in a way that brings God glory, he says, I'll give it to you. If you're going to use it for your own efforts, if you're going to use it for your own glory, I'm going to hold it back. But if it's for me, and if it's to draw people to me, and to my word, and to my son, Jesus Christ, and to my ways, and to my people, then I'm going to give it to you. And really, we learned, and maybe we continually will learn until the day we're with him, that if we would just have the wisdom of God, that we would see the work of God in our lives, manifested, produced. But there's a final thing that James tells us in this beginning section of chapter 1. Yes, consider it joy. Know that the testing of your faith produces patience. Knowing that patience will make you perfect. Knowing that we need to ask for wisdom. But here in the last three verses of this section, verses 6, 7, and 8, he gives us one more charge. One more thing that we apply to this that we must listen. We must believe. We must believe. We must have faith. See, we say that as Christians, oh, I'm a faithful person, or I have faith in God, or I believe in Jesus. But really, when the rubber meets the road, is your faith exercised? Is your faith strong? See, if faith is only good when things are going well, it's not strong faith. See, it's that faith that is exercised when things are falling apart around you and you're confident in God to get you through. That's when your faith is truly being exercised and being displayed. Read with me, as we've been doing over these weeks, this entire section, verse 1 through 8, so that we continually have this scripture in our hearts. Verse 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Give me your attention. I don't know if you've read a lot of the New Testament books in the Bible, but James runs right out of it, doesn't he? I mean, he just opens the door and just gets you right in the face. I don't know about you, I feel like I've been slapped. It's like, boy, consider it joy when you face trial. Ask God for wisdom. He'll give it to you. And make sure you don't doubt. Because if you doubt, don't even think you're going to get anything. I mean, that's how I try to translate that for myself. It's like, hey, dummy, pay attention. Pay attention. We have got to believe. And today's message is the heart that believes. The heart that believes. And now, there's minds that believe, right? We might know in our mind, we've read it, we've heard it, we repeat it, we see it on in plaques and pictures on our rooms. Believe God. Nothing's impossible with God. All things are possible with God. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We know the scriptures. We've heard them. But do we believe them? See, here's my heart for us this morning is that we would believe, as James says, with absolutely no doubting. Not some doubting, not a little doubting, no doubting. To absolutely believe our God is able. Do you believe it? Wow. Do you believe it? Yes, we believe it. We've seen it. We've experienced it. Experienced it personally. We've seen it from afar. We've seen God do amazing things. And I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with our faith, but it has everything to do with our faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we believe that we can stand up as a church and pray for someone we've never met, asking God to move, and God moves. Why? Why? Because God looks down and goes, I'm so glad you're asking me. I'm so glad you're taking time to ask me to do something amazing. Because it's our faith, when we apply it, and when we do what the scriptures tell us to do, that God says, I am going to honor my word. His word, right? Not our words, Not, hey, if I pray a certain way, if I stand a certain way, if I eat a few things right, then God will love me more. No, that we will apply God's word, and God's word he will honor. That's the truth. The heart that believes. So I'm hoping that this morning we're going to stir our hearts, we're going to believe a little bit more on the way out than when we came in. Because I don't know what's going on in your life, a lot of you. Some of you, I know what's going on, I'm praying for you. But others of you, you're going through difficult times, but I don't know about it. But God does, and you do. And I'm hoping that on the way out, you will believe that God's going to change your circumstances this week. This week, most of my emails and texts have been, I'm expecting God to do a miracle. I'm expecting God to do a miracle. Why? Because he's a miracle worker. If I expected you to do a miracle, I'm kidding myself, right? Right, aren't we? Lou, do me a miracle this week, would you? Call me Lord just one time. It's biblical, by the way. She's done it before. I don't think she'll ever do it again, but that's fine. That's fine. But when we expect people to do miracles, or when we expect people to do things, what? We're disappointed. They let us down. And honestly, we should expect that. But with God, it's totally different. Expect God to do a miracle because God can do miracles. But you're saying, well, he hasn't done one in my life. Oh, he has, if you're saved, if you believe in Jesus Christ. You know, have you ever heard of Mike McIntosh? He's one of the first Calvary Chapel pastors in the early days of the movement. And we were at a pastor's conference. I don't know if it was a senior, it was a pastor's conference. And he had shared how, in one of the experiences that he had, how like 1,500 people got saved. And it will stick with me to the day I die. He's just shared, he says, and 1,500 people got saved. And there were people, oh yeah, yeah, praise the Lord. And he stopped us dead in our tracks and he goes, did you hear what I just said? 1,500 people escaped hell and entered into heaven. And it was such a convicting thing to think. We look at salvation today and go, oh, that's good. Yeah, 250 people got saved. Wonderful. 250 people entered the kingdom of God. That's great news. That reminds us that God is still saving people. And for some of us, maybe in here, maybe we need to get saved again. Maybe you need to have the Holy Spirit anoint us again and just say, God, move me. You know, I forget that scripture in Acts. You said, what are we to do? We're to move as Christians. We're not to just be waiting. Yes, I love the fact that we can wait for opportunities and God will bring opportunities. But I think as Christians, we should go out and find opportunities. Go out and find an opportunity to share the gospel with Jesus of Jesus Christ. I know, not everybody's called to evangelize. And I know it's a scary thing to go up to somebody you don't know and say, do you know Jesus? But I'm telling you, as sure as I stand here, once you start, and once you start seeing God move, you won't stop. You'll ask everybody if they believe in Jesus. And you might be young in here, and you might go, well, my friends will make fun of me. Well, be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. Be a God pleaser. I haven't even gotten to my first point. Lord, have mercy. Verse 6. I love verse by verse because I do it verse by verse. But let, verse 6. But let him ask in faith. Listen, the heart that believes, number one, right? The heart that believes is a faithful heart. It's a faithful heart. You hear me? The heart that believes, it's a faithful heart, not faithful in anything but God, okay? Faith, he says it right here. But let him ask in faith. If anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God who gives liberally without reproach, and it will be given with him, to him. But the next verse, but you better ask with faith. You cannot say, God, if you might want to have some time to give me some wisdom, I know I don't deserve it. Listen, we don't deserve it. Okay, so settle that. We don't deserve the wisdom of God. But he loves us so much, he says, I want to give it to you because I want to work in your life. I want to see you have something happen in your life. I want to see your faith to be stretched and to be encouraged. Faithfully, without doubting. I used to think, if I didn't doubt that I could walk on water, I could actually walk on water. I used to actually do this. I used to practice this. It's like, all right. I'm not going to doubt this time. Splash, right down to the... I must be doubting a little bit. Why? Because if we believe that we can we? I'm constantly encouraging us on Wednesday nights when we read the Gospels of Jesus Christ and all the miracles that he's done. I'm constantly trying to remind us all, he still could do these miracles. This last Wednesday, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000, how God took two little sardines and five probably nasty loaves of bread and fed over 5,000 people. But do we believe he could do it still today? Do we believe if we prayed right now, God, provide for us at lunchtime an amazing meal? We got to believe he could do anything. We got to believe that he still is that same God. He doesn't change from yesterday, today, forever. He might do things a little differently. He's provided his word for us and he's given us an abundance of grace, but he's still the same God that can turn the circumstances of your life today. Believing that miracle. Keep your place in James. We will come back. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. It's just a few pages to the left. Read with me in verse 14. God bless you. Hebrews 4 and 14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus knows what you're dealing with. Jesus knows the condition that you're in. Jesus knows the limit of capacity and abilities that you have. But look at verse 16, which is highlighted in my Bible, and I hope it's going to be highlighted in yours before you leave. It says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, boldness comes through complete faith in the Lord. You understand that? The boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, is because we have confidence and faith in the Lord. And anytime we hinder ourselves or keep ourselves from coming into the boldness and the presence of God is because there's something in our hearts, there's a condition that exists there that we feel we can't enter into his presence confidently. What are those things that keep us there? Well, the number one thing is sin. If there's sin in your life, it's hard to enter into the presence of a holy God, isn't it? Because God cannot be in the presence of sin. So there may be some sin issue that you're dealing with in your heart. And you think, well, I can't enter. Listen to me. If there is a sin condition, whether it's a great sin or a little sin, sin, if it's any of those things, do me a favor. Take it to the foot of the cross. Deal with that sin so that you can enter in. God does not say, hey, my presence is here. You can come to me, but make sure you clean yourself before you come. No, he says, I'll clean you. Then you come into my presence. Boldly, confidently. When it comes to our faith, when it comes to the heart that believes, it must be a confidence and a boldness that is there, my friends. So highlight that verse in your Bible. Memorize that one. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. I know there's people in this room that need to obtain some mercy this morning. They need to experience the mercy of God. You've been beat up all week. Your boss isn't really happy with your work product this week. A friend of yours is all over your case on some stuff, and you're not feeling like it. You're feeling like somebody needs to be nice to me finally. God wants to be merciful to you. God wants to be merciful to you. This time, go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Keep going to the left in your Bibles. Because James says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. We know from last week that we are to ask. I hope you remember from last week, we're to ask for wisdom. That was not necessarily a suggestion. It was, in a sense, a command. And we learned last week, not only are we to ask, but what? Anybody remember? We're to continually ask, right? That word ask means to ask and ask and ask and ask and never tire about asking. So we know to ask. We see here in the book of James how we're to ask. We must ask without doubting. We must ask with faith. And that's what we see here in Mark chapter 11, verse 20. Verse 20. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. This is the tree that Jesus cursed. And Peter, here we go, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed was withered away." It's almost like he's shocked. Like when Jesus curses something, I'm thinking it's cursed. I mean, right? I mean, it's like Peter's going, "I can't believe it's withered up and dead. Jesus, I cursed it." Right? Anyway, I digress. Verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," which I'm so glad we sang this today, "be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Do these verses sound exciting to you? To believe, to ask, to not doubt. Jesus says don't doubt, to ask. Now some of us are going, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. You mean I can ask God for anything and he'll give it to me? Rolls Royce? Mansion? Lots of money?" No. There's a key that you may have missed. And Jesus said it right in the beginning. When it comes to asking for things, we should ask, don't doubt, believe in your heart. What you ask for, you will receive it. And you can confidently ask for anything and believe you'll receive it if, look at the end of verse 22 again, in the words in red, have faith in God. If you have faith in God, if your relationship with God is so close, so strong, so confident, listen, whatever you ask is going to be according to his will anyways, because you have faith in God. If you don't have faith in God, if you don't believe God can provide, then when you're going to ask wrong. You're going to ask amiss. But here Jesus says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be moved, it'll be moved." And here it is. There's people in this room that have mountains in their way. There's obstacles in your life that are hindering you from the fullness of what God has for you. And what Jesus is saying, have faith in me. Let's spend some time together. Let's talk, and I'll move that obstacle out of your way. Or I'll show you how to get around that obstacle. Because literally Jesus isn't telling us to go outside and start yelling at mountains. "Hey, why don't you hop over there?" No, he doesn't want us to do crazy. He wants us to see things happen in our lives. So I don't know if it's a financial mountain in your way. I don't know if it's a physical mountain in your way. I don't know if it's a relational mountain in your way. Something's in your way from the fullness of what God has for you. And God says, "Let's work together and we'll move it." Because you're not going to move it. God's saying, "I'm going to move it. If you believe in me." It starts by faith in God. The heart that believes is a faithful heart. Doesn't mean you're faithful. It means your confidence is in the one who is faithful. You understand what I'm saying? You're faithful to the things God tells you. When God tells you to do something, do you say, "Yes, sir," and right now? Or do you go, "I need to talk to a few people before I agree to that"? We do that. We do that. We hear from the God. We hear God speaks to us, and then we're gonna test it. We're going to make sure. Listen, if you know the voice of God and he tells you to do something, start moving. Start going in that direction. Faith is something that you must possess and that you must have. See, many times we say, "I believe in God. I believe he's doing a work in my life. I believe he's going to make it happen." But then we jump in ourselves the next day because it's not happening fast enough, right? "God, please help me with this job. Help me find the job that's for me, Lord, and I'm going to trust you." And then what do we do the next day? We get busy doing God's work. We get busy doing what God wants to do for us. Whatever it is. When you put it into the hands of God, leave it in the hands of God, right? Leave it there. Leave it there. The heart that believes is first faithful heart, but look at second. Go back to James. Let's go back to James. Look at the second thing. You may not have noticed it. It's in verses 7 and 8, and we're actually doing pretty good on time. Just another 45 minutes or so, we'll be done. Verse 7. I mean, this is a strong verse right here. For let not this man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. James is being pretty straight here, isn't he? He's not sugarcoating it. He's not trying to ease it down, you know, with a little sweetener. No, he's like, if you doubt, don't even think you're getting anything from God. Wow, that's strong. So the heart that believes, number one, is a faithful heart, but two, it's a focused heart. It's a focused heart. And here's what I'm saying. When he talks about in verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. This is speaking of a person that believes in God, but also spends a lot of time trusting in the world. Double-minded. Yes, God, I believe you can do it, but I also believe in a lot of things that the world does. And so I'm double-minded. Sometimes I'm on God's side, sometimes I'm not. God says, you're lukewarm. You're not in, you're not out. You're double-minded. You're not focused on just God. And this is what the heart that believes is focused on just God, only Him. It says, we'll read it in James 4 later. As we get there, it says in James 4, verses 7 and 8, should be overhead, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Here it is. You double-minded. And I've highlighted in this verse, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. You can't do that yourself. As much as you try, your hands are going to be filthy from sin. It's only under the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We need to keep our hands in the blood of Christ, cleansed by that blood, that precious blood of Jesus. That every first Sunday of every month, we partake of communion and remember the blood, remember the body that was broken. And it's that cleansing effect that purifies our hearts and cleanses our hands for the works of God. See, this is what should happen for Christians. We should get up every day and go out into the mission field and spread the gospel. And guess what? We're going to get dirty in the process. There's an enemy that's going to try and take us out. We're going to get all mucked up, but we got to constantly come back to the Word and be cleansed by the washing of the Word. Know the verse? Cleansing, washing of the Word, cleansing us. There is no other way. There are no other means. Only through the cleansing blood of Jesus, only through the forgiveness that He provides for you. And as you submit to Him and draw close to Him, He'll cleanse you. And that's what this verse is talking about. We must do these things. We must constantly come to the Lord. Verse 7, you see the danger of doubting. You see the danger. It's a very severe thing. We can't even suppose that we'll receive anything from God if we doubt. But listen, here's the good news. The opposite is true. The opposite of this verse is true. The one who believes is the one who can suppose that he will receive from God. He's the one who can be confident that God will supply. You see the difference? That's why I look at this verse and I go, wow, that's pretty straightforward, James. But I also look at the opposite and go, if my mind is steadfast on God, and if my faith is in Him, then I can receive. I can expect God to do miracles this week. You see, as I'm studying this, I'm realizing I can expect God to do miracles in life. Why? Because I'm confident in my relationship with God. Am I perfect? Am I holy? No, I'm forgiven. I'm washed by the blood of Christ. And I'm confident that I can come to God in that boldness knowing I can ask whatever I want because I have faith in you. Nothing else. No system. Do we depend on our retirement? Do we depend on our pension? Or do we depend on God? Those things aren't bad. I'm not saying get rid of them. Keep them. But make sure they're in the context of God is my provider. God supplies my pension. Believe this, guy friends. Now here's the thing as we close finally. I would imagine for most of us in this room, we would all stand if we were questioned, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. And there's a verse in the Bible where a gentleman comes and asks Jesus to heal, I believe it's his son, if I'm not wrong. Now it says child. Jesus, heal my child. And Jesus basically says this, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That's what Jesus says to this man. Can you heal my child? I tried. Your disciples came, but they couldn't heal my child. Could you possibly heal my child, Jesus? And Jesus says, if you believe. All things are possible if you believe. And I love what this man says. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, which I think is significant, says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh. He's confidently saying, God, I believe you can do it. But help me in my times when I don't. And that is the truth, my friends, because we're not perfect. We're not always going to believe. We're not always not going to doubt. There are going to be those times when I step out on the water that I'm going to doubt and sink. But those are the times when I got to go, God, help me to believe. Because nothing is impossible with you. What's the condition of your heart today? Do you believe in Jesus? And I mean believe to the point when you hear that one person gets saved, you just rejoice and say, praise God and hallelujah. Somebody got saved. To the point where you believe so much that God can do a miracle in your life. And you probably need one today. You probably need a miracle. And it might be just a miracle of the condition of your heart. Maybe your heart's been drifting from God and it's gotten a little bit crusty, a little bit hard. And you're like, Lord, just soften my heart to this person that's driving me crazy or this condition that I find myself in that's overwhelming. God, help my unbelief. That's going to be my prayer for us tonight, today, as we leave. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Help our unbelief so that we can believe in the God that does miracles. Father, we love you so very much. We are so grateful for the scriptures that can be so upfront and in our faces to say, let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord if he doubts. God, it's a great reminder this morning that we should not doubt in an infinite God, an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God, an all-capable God. And so I pray for all of us in this room, God, who believe. And we all cry out with tears, help our unbelief. Help us in those times when doubt tries to creep in and the enemy tries to speak those lies to us and tell us that we're not loved unconditionally, that we're not forgiven of all of our sins. Help us, God, to push away those lies and believe by faith that you loved the entire world so much that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, that if we believe in him, we shall not perish. We shall have everlasting life. And finally, God, I pray that we would live that everlasting life starting today. It is not a future experience. It is an experience for the Christian to experience today. Eternal life. We love you, Lord. Bless your name. Be with us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.